Well, let's get ready for the word tonight. I know Tom has a powerful word he's ready to bring, so let's welcome him. Let's open our hearts, our Bibles, our minds, get ready to receive from Pastor Tom.
All right. Yeah, you have to grab her from down there. It's kind of funny. So, I've been trying to think about like little factoids to tell you about myself. And the truth of the matter is I'm running out of things to say because I don't have that much about me to that I could tell you about. So I thought of two things that I would tell you. One is that my family and I, did I mention that we're nerds? Did I mention that? I think I mentioned that one. So we've recently got hooked on Star Wars Legos. So, like, we do Star Wars Legos like family puzzle night, right? Like, so we don't build, like, the little tiny things. We build the ginormous, like, the Death Star, right? So we are now up to, we are on our seventh collection right now. So we have the Death Star, we have the Millennium Falcon, we have the X-Wing Fighter, we have the TIE Fighter, we have Boba Fett's, Slave One, right? We have the Ewok Village, and there's one other one I can't think of right now because they're all massive. Like, we don't even have anywhere to store them. We have the Sand Crawler, the Sand People Crawler, yeah. So they're all, like, you know, 4,000 pieces each, you know, kind of a deal. So they're kind of big and epic, and so that's what we do as a family. And the thing that stinks about this is that the newest set they made is the Snow Hoth battle scene. What's ridiculous about me saying that is that movie was made way before you were born. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about because you're my peeps right here. You're close to my heart that you know what I'm saying right now. Thank you. It made me feel good. But, like, we don't have space for, like, big old villages. We learned that with the Ewok Village. It's, like, massive and it's, you know, like, I just want one piece, and then I can play with the little figurines, and then we can watch the movies, and it's great. That's the little tidbit about me that I want to share today. 4 a.m. in the Kraken. What do you think of that? Right? Listen, obviously there's a whole huge team of people that pull that kind of stunt off. Like, you guys had an indoor water slide at an outdoor summer camp. Right? Right? And did anybody get all sticky or slimy from the lard or whatever it was that was made? Right? Like stain your clothes or whatever, you know, that was awesome. And what was surprising to me was that the cops didn't show up, right? Like, I was like, whoo, what a great night. The cops didn't show up because people are like, turn down the bass, right? Anyway, so that was pretty cool. That was pretty legit. But I want to try to be respectful of the fact that you were out till 4 a.m. this morning at a rave party. And so we're going to try to jump right into this. But I want to set this up for you tonight, okay? Are you ready? We're going to crack into some things. I didn't mean to use the word. I did not. That was totally accident. I'm glad you're recording that, or I hope you are, because that was 100% accidental that I just used that phrase. But I'm never that good. Okay, so tonight we've been talking about, we talked about conquering fear, right? And then we talked about conquering obstacles. And tonight I want to talk to you about conquering something specifically. The title of my talk is Conquering Power, but here's what we believe about tonight. We believe that God wants to deposit or download into you specifically a gift of His Holy Spirit, right? And so here's how I want to open tonight's service. I would like to lead you in a prayer, much like we pray kind of at the end of the service for to invite Jesus into our life, right? So I would like to have you repeat a prayer after me, simply saying this. Could you, at the beginning of this message time, which is not the beginning of the service, but at the beginning of the message time, give God permission to move in your life, right? Because here's the thing. Our all-powerful, almighty God has chosen by His grace to only be limited by one force in all the universe. And it's you. You are the only thing that can stop God from moving in your life. I can't stop God from moving in your life. Your parents can't stop God from moving in your life. Outside persecution or people making fun of you or saying that you can't even go to church can't stop God from moving in your life. According to Scripture, the only thing that can stop God from moving in your life is you. So, can we at the beginning of this message time just give God permission to move in us however he sees fit? Could we do that? Could I lead you in a prayer time of giving him that? So that's all we're going to do. We're just going to say, God, I give you permission to move in my life, and then we're going to move on, okay? So pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight I give you permission to move in my life however you see fit. Whatever that looks like, whatever that sounds like, whatever that feels like, do in me whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so now let's talk about what God wants to do in you. God gives us this gift. He sent his gift called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a part of the God Trinity, right? And so what I want to talk to you about is what exactly the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and how he wants to operate in our lives and how it helps us conquer with power, right? So here's what Jesus says in, it's not Jesus, sorry. Here's what 1 John says. Here's what 1 John writes about the Holy Spirit, okay? Are you ready? It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. Here's what he writes to Christians, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. So there was people that came along to Christians and were trying to teach them false stuff, right? They were trying to say things that were different. Most notably, what they were trying to say is that if you really want to be a God follower, you've got to do all of these things. And it was trying to put outside works attached to God's grace. That's most notably what they were talking about. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. This anointing was that he's talking about right there is like the power for salvation, right? The idea that you came to Jesus messed up with your past, with your story, with nothing to add value to God, but just your unconditional love. And so he's saying, that anointing that you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So here's what, let me just kind of, I want to unpack this for a second. 1 John, in John's book here, his letter that he's writing, what he's saying is this anointing, the Holy Spirit that leads us into the things of God, that lets us know when the things of God are real and when someone else is trying to bring a counterfeit or a fake message or something that isn't really from God. It is the gift, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life that says, hey, that's legit, that's truth, that's honest, that's from God. And it's the Holy Spirit also at work in our life that says, that's not legit. That's not honest. That's not truth. That's not from God. And so what he's saying here is not that you shouldn't learn, not that you shouldn't be taught, not that you shouldn't be in church and be instructed in the things of God. What he's saying is that when you're being instructed in the things of God, the Holy Spirit engages in the process that says, yep, that's truth right there. You don't even know how you know that's truth. Because it is the work or the anointing of the Holy Spirit that, like, the Bible says it, like, quickens our souls. It quickens our spirit to go, yep, that's truth right there. Right? So, like, let's think for a moment about that time. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was the night before. When you received Jesus in your life, you didn't receive Jesus in your life because you understood everything. You received Jesus in your life because there was a quickening in your heart or a moving of God's Spirit on your life that said, that's true, and God wants to offer grace to you. You should respond to this. There was something that transpired that was beyond human teaching or beyond human understanding, but you knew it to be true. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? So, because when you think about salvation, like when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't know jack. right? Like there was times, like when I got saved at 14, I was high on drugs when I got saved, and I didn't grow up in church and any of that kind of stuff. And so like I gave my life to Jesus, and I called my youth pastor one day, a short time after I gave my life to Jesus. And I'm like, yo, Pastor Doug, where in the blankety blank of this Bible do you find blankety blank scripture? And he's chuckling and laughing because he's like, well, Tommy, we probably need to work on your vocabulary a little bit because you're not supposed to talk like that anymore. Because I didn't know that, like, I grew up cussing from the time I could start talking, right? So I didn't know you weren't supposed to cuss. It wasn't until later when it's like, don't let anything vulgar or foul come out of your mouth, right? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I should probably talk differently now, right? You know, so I'm like cussing at the pastor, which is probably not a good idea. Please don't anybody do that, right? Because I didn't know, right? I didn't know. But as I'm reading scripture, as I'm in church, as I'm in the right environment, as I'm surrounded by people, this anointing that he's talking about, or the Holy Spirit, quickens your soul, your spirit to go, that's truth right there. That's truth. What God wants to do in your life today, what we're focusing on, I should say, is how God wants that power, that anointing, that teacher, that instructor, the quickening of the Holy Spirit to be alive and active in your life every day. All right? We need wisdom. We need guidance. We need bumper pads to keep us on the road, right? We need the, you know, the guard rails. You see those around town, especially there's a spot where I live. It's not very often, and maybe you see these more. You know, they have those big, huge, bright yellow sticks in case the snow drift shows up, and you're like, oh, that's the end of the road. I need to stay inside that, right? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about? They have those here. Like, it actually does snow in Southern California, so we have those. Unbelievable, right? You've probably never seen that on the news. You've only seen surfers and like, yeah, dude, bruh, right? Yeah, right. So we actually have like major snow ski lodges that haven't gotten any snow in a couple of years because we're in a drought. But so God wants to, I got way off track right there. Okay, let's bring it back. God wants to give us this gift of the Holy Spirit so that like those snow plow markers, right? So that those markers that says, hey, this is the road, stay in between. That's what he does. So here are some ways we can elevate our understanding, we can elevate our wisdom, we can allow this gift of the Holy Spirit to function in our life. So here's number one. Are you ready? Are you writing this down? We're going to try to go fast because I want to keep you engaged and keep you from nodding off. And if you nod off, I promise I'm not going to be offended because some of you are already asleep now and it's no big deal. No, you don't all have to look around like, oh, it's that guy. Like, in a minute, I'm going to be like, hey, Pastor, I want you to pray. You know? And I'm like, what? It's going to be awesome. Okay. We got to look to the source. Everybody say source. Right? So when we're talking about this wisdom, this guidance, this unction, this guide in our life called the Holy Spirit, he, the person of God, we have to look to the source. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. This is what we speak, not words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. Right? Words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, I want to set this up first because what we are specifically going to ask for is that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit power and give you the ability to have a spiritual understanding that is beyond a human understanding. Right? That means it's going to look different than a human understanding. It's going to look different than human words. It's going to look different than a human functionality because guess what? It's not human. Are you tracking with me so far? Right? So what the scripture is saying is that there is a teaching, there is a wisdom that comes from humans. But there's also a wisdom that comes from beyond humans. And that is the Spirit. Now we grow and we learn in human understanding, right? Mathematics, calculus. How many of you have to take calculus? Anybody love calculus? Yeah. Trigonometry, geometry. You love these things, right? Some human wisdom and mathematics, right? And there's the English language, trying to master that thing. The most complicated thing on the planet is the English language. Well, next to women, but, I have three of them in my house. You would think I'd be an expert. I'm not. Not at all. There is a spiritual understanding that is beyond human. Now, here's what happens. Ready? This is what we do. We get so wrapped up in the human understanding that we somehow try to rationalize out the spiritual understanding. This is what we do. Like when you watch things like the Science Channel and the History Channel, and you go to like the universities and you take all these classes, you know, and the biology and science, right? All these things. And what we do is we get, as a human race, we get so absorbed into the human understanding that we try to rationalize out the spiritual understanding. Tonight, we're colliding both. That's what we're doing. So there will be some things that we talk about that might seem a little confusing. And the reason for that is not to confuse you, but it's because it is beyond human understanding. Are you tracking with me right now? We're asking God, God, will you impart to me your spiritual understanding, which is beyond human understanding? That's the journey we're going on. This is how we conquer with power. Right? And that's important because here's what happens sometimes. When we're walking in the things of God, if you're analytical like me sometimes, you think, I can't accept anything unless I fully understand it first. Right? I can't accept anything until I fully understand it first. So you're like, how did Jesus walk on water? How did the Red Sea part with Moses? Right? You're like, how did the axe head float with the prophet? Some of you might not know that story. It's back in the Book of Kings, right? You know, right? You're like, how did the woman with her jar of oil, how did that thing just keep filling up? There must have been some kind of natural force at work, because we're saying, I can't understand, I can't accept anything unless I fully understand it. But tonight, we're specifically asking God to give us a gift of his Holy Spirit that is beyond the human understanding. And the moment we recognize that, we are free from having to understand it before we receive. Is this making sense to you? Right? I want you to track with me. At some point, you got to tell your brain, brain, just shut up. You ain't going to get this. Because your spirit man will. Right? Because it's not from, this is what scripture says, it's not words taught by humans, but words taught by the Spirit and expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. We're looking for the spiritual impartation of God that is beyond the human side. There's lots of things that God does that are beyond the human understanding, right? Like, how is it that Jupiter stays in a perfect orbit? I don't know. It's really far from the sun. So somehow gravity works, right? Right? I mean, all these things that take place that are just like God's doing. There's something like, I don't even know, a ridiculous number of species of beetles. Right? Like, wouldn't one be enough? Wouldn't a dozen be enough? But there's like, wouldn't zero be enough? But there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of species of beetles. Why? Because God has a plan and he knows stuff beyond at least my human understanding. There might be some brainiac out there that gets it, but it's beyond my understanding. Let's look at this other. In the Gospel of John, it says this in John 14:26. This is Jesus talking now. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Right? So we've all been in service, and you're guilty of this last night. We've all been in service where there's some good stuff said, and then you leave and you forget it. Right? Some of you, like probably 75% of what I said last night, you have forgotten already. Now, some of you are taking notes so you can go back and look and be like, oh, yeah, man, that was really good. Sometimes I should take notes because I'm like, whew, man, that thing I said over there, that was really good. That wasn't from me, right? So, because God does that all the time. Jesus says, God's sending you his Holy Spirit in my name, and he's going to teach you and he's going to instruct you and he's going to cause you to grow in spiritual wisdom that is beyond human wisdom. It's beyond human understanding. It's beyond human learning. The Bible talks about this. There are a group of people that are always learning but never understanding. right? They're always learning but never understanding. There are people that know way more about the Bible than I do, but they have no clue who God is. Because they're always learning, but they're never understanding. The Holy Spirit comes so that we can gain the understanding, the spiritual understanding of what it is that God wants us to do. So I wrote this down in my notes. We got to seek godly examples of what this looks like, right? So we're going to spend a little bit of time here in 1 Kings because I love the story of King Solomon that unpacks here. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is where we're going to be for a minute. All right, so if you want to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to camp out here. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but mostly this is where we're going tonight. 1 Kings chapter 3. You want to turn there? Yeah, you can go there. If you don't have your Bible, it'll show up on the screen. But it says this. God shows up, says to Solomon, I'm making you king. Ask me for anything you want. Right? It's like the ultimate genie in a bottle story. God shows up and says, hey, Solomon, you're kind of handsome, kind of cute. What do you want? I'll give you anything you want, right? So this is what we pick it up in verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6 says, as Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. And you have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne to this very day. So check this out. God starts blessing Solomon. God starts showing up in Solomon's life. And the first thing Solomon does when God's like, what do you want? He looks to the example of his father. That's the first thing Solomon does is he's like, listen, God, you did some incredible stuff in David's life. And the reason you did was because he was upright and he was righteous and his heart was after you. And now look how you're blessing him. And so he begins by looking at the example of his father. I would encourage you, you want to grow in spiritual wisdom. You want to grow in the understanding of things that are beyond human understanding. You've got to have some spiritual fathers that are great examples of men and women of God. I know it's hard to say. Okay, I'll say it this way. Spiritual fathers and mothers. It would be weird to have a spiritual female father. That doesn't really work. But you get what I'm saying. You got to have people in your life who get what I'm talking about. You know they get it. And you follow their example. Solomon has this encounter with God. God's like, hey, what is it that you want? And instead of Solomon making his own choice, instead of him just jumping in reaction, because like some of you have played this game, like if I won the lottery, you're not even old enough to play the lottery, but you're like, man, if I won $1 million or $300 million, I'd go buy an island and a boat and an airplane. And right? You like, we play that imaginary game in our mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, man, I'd buy an Xbox One for everybody. Sweet, let me know, because I'll put my name on the list, you know, kind of a thing. God says, I'm going to give you anything you want. You could just name it and have it. And the first thing Solomon does is he looks to the spiritual example that was before him. You know why teenagers get in trouble sometimes? Because we don't surround ourselves with good spiritual examples to follow. And we don't allow their life to speak and guide our lives, right? And I get it. There probably isn't necessarily a lot of great spiritual examples in society today. There's not. I understand that. You got to seek them out. Ladies, you got to seek out godly women that you can follow their passion for God, their intuitiveness, their connection to God, their spiritual appetite and their spiritual maturity. Men, guys, listen, you've got it tough. It is tough to be a dude today, right? It is really tough, the pressure. Now, ladies, you might have it tough too, but I don't know your world, so I'm only staying in my lane. Otherwise, I'll say something dumb and get in trouble, right? So I'm just talking to the guys for a second. The pressure, guys, I get it. Like, you're supposed to be the toughest. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're supposed to be this and that. And know when a girl is supposed to be the other side, right? Like, it's tough. We cannot make it without spiritual fathers in our lives. We are empowered by God when we put before us spiritual wisdom to follow. You've got to find, listen, you got to find men. And they might not be your father. They might not be your daddy. I get that. Mine was not my daddy. I led my father to the Lord. And then after he became a Christian, I was his spiritual leader. Right? So it was not my earthly father that was my spiritual leader. Now, yours might be, and if you've got that, awesome, praise God, what a blessing that is. That's God's plan. That's how he intended it to be, but it doesn't always work out that way. You got to find them, seek them out and go, you are a man of the Spirit. You are a woman of the Spirit, and I want to follow your example because I want to see God bless my life. I want to become the person. I want to become the man or the woman God wants me to be, right? This thing is not just about a hype, one-time moment or encounter at camp. This thing is about a lifelong journey of living a spirit-led, spirit-empowered life with spiritual wisdom that is beyond human understanding. And you're not going to figure that out by yourself, but God gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us gifts of good spiritual examples. Now, let me just say this right here. Pastor Reed and Pastor Mariah are some remarkable people. Now, I know I only get to spend like 5 days or 8 days up here in Alaska, but we chat on the phone and we text and we connect, we communicate. And let me just tell you a little bit of insight into your leaders. First, let me say, they're not perfect. They know that though. But their desire for God, first and foremost, is off the charts. They have a spiritual hunger that is worthy, that is a worthy example for your life. Secondly, their devotion to you is beyond ridiculous, right? Their devotion to you is beyond ridiculous. The amount of investment and sacrifice that they do. Like, they were out till 4 o'clock in the morning so that you could have a crazy, wicked, good time. Right? And like, they're away from their babies and their families this week. And I know that there's a lot of people that are volunteering and a lot of people. So not everybody can just connect to Reed and Mariah. I get that. There's a lot of examples like that that are a part of this church community. You are blessed to be a part of this kind of a church where that is. There's not a lot of churches around this country that have so many great examples of people who are devoted. Look, your cabin leaders that you're hanging out with and sitting with even right now. It's a group of, we're in here, but while you're still out there eating and doing all that stuff, they're in here praying that God rocks your life because they are devoted to your spiritual development. You've got a team of people that is already working on next year's summer camp because they care about your spiritual progress. I'm saying all this to say that if you will look with a level of maturity and sincerity, it won't be hard in this environment for you to find some spiritual fathers that you can go, oh, that is a person that God moves in. That is a person that has spiritual understanding. That is a person that has spiritual wisdom. I want to follow them. Now, let me just tell you this. Okay. You heard me say this about my dad. Spiritual fathers do not always have to be older than you. Now, at your age, they do. Right? Like, don't go to a sixth grader and be like, will you be my spiritual father? Right? Right? But listen, God has some gifts that he wants to give you and impart to you, and he's got some people that he's given you. You just might not have unlocked them or allowed them to have access into your life. Is this making sense? Are you tracking what I'm saying? Listen, again, like last night, this is a pretty mature talk. But I'm like, I'm ready to raise the bar for you because I think you'll more than exceed the expectation that's put on you. That you could, with a spiritual maturity, with the grace of God and a spiritual maturity, go, I need wisdom-type people. I need Holy Spirit-filled people leading my life. Right? Because we need this thing to work. We need this thing to stick. We need this thing to last for the next 70, 80, 90 years of your life. You got to look for a spiritual father. Who are the wise people that God has placed in your life? How are you drawing wisdom out of them? Check this out. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says this. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Here's what it's saying. There's people who have wisdom inside of them, and a smart person will pull it out of them. So this is what the scripture's talking about. Ready? Look at me right here, right here. This is what scripture's saying right now. Spiritually wise people, they won't just come up to you and be like, hey, I want to give you this. Blah. Right? I mean, that occasionally happens. But listen, if you'll walk with understanding and you'll look for the right people and the right voices to pour into you, then you go to them and you start pulling things out of them. Hey, what's your prayer life look like? Hey, how do you talk to Jesus? Hey, how does Jesus talk to you? And you start pulling those things out of them. They'll just start pulling things out. They don't even know they got in them. It's like a deep well. We just sang that song. It's like a deep well in them. And God's given you enough understanding to go, oh, I got to go pull some stuff out of that guy. Oh, I got to go pull some stuff out of that lady right there because I want to know. I want to know. I want God to unlock that stuff in my life. And so I want to know. I want to learn from their journey. I want to learn from what God has deposited in them. So I'm going to go pull it out of them. Don't sit around and wait for somebody to start pouring into your life. Go pull it out of them. Go seek these people out. Go build relationship with them and go, okay, I got to pull some stuff out of you. What's it like when God moves in your life like this? What's it like when you lead your family like this? What's it like when you have this? Blah, blah, blah. Just start pulling it out of them, pulling it out of them. Are you tracking with me? Man, I know I'm giving you some, like, I'm giving you homework. I'm sorry, it's summer and you're not supposed to have it, but I'm giving it to you. Go pull it out of them. Find them and then pull it out, right? So how do we do this? Next thing I wrote down is you've got to be humble. Everybody say be humble, right? Regardless of your position, you don't have it all together. Regardless of how long you've been in church, regardless of how many summer camps in a row you've been to, regardless of how long you've been around, you don't have all the answers. Proverbs 3:34 says, he mocks proud mockers but gives grace to the humble, right? He gives grace to the humble. Here's what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 3. I told you we were camping out there. Verse 7, he says, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties. Maybe it's time to get a better duties. Listen, if we are going to be spiritually mature, if we're going to be spiritual conquerors, if we're going to operate and function in power like God wants us to, we have to be humble. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Even if they are Funyuns. Right? Like, we've got to be humble. Solomon was the most powerful man in the country. He was the most powerful. And then God shows up and was like, I'll give you anything you want. There's a lot of opportunities to be proud right there in that moment. There's a lot of opportunities to be like, yeah, you will, God, because without me, right? There's a lot of opportunity to be arrogant. There's a lot of opportunity to be conceited. There's a lot of opportunity to be self-centered, like you created this blessing in your life, or you are owed this opportunity. You're owed this and that, right? And so there's a lot of opportunity to be that. But if we want to unlock God's power, if we want to conquer this thing and have power operating in our life, we've got to be humble. And understand that it's the Lord who guides our steps. You made varsity team. That ain't on you. That's God guiding your steps. Right? You're Miss Popular. Everybody wants to hang out with you. That ain't you. That's God giving you a level of influence and favor that he wants to use. You've got to remain humble. King Solomon, God was ready to pour out anything he wanted. And what he said was, God, I can't figure this out on my own. I need your help, God. I need your wisdom. I need your power. I need your ability. Now listen, last night I talked to you about God's dreams being bigger than your dreams, right? And when you understand God's dream, like the moment God speaks to you and is like, my dream for your life is to blah, 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 fill in the blank, whatever God says for you. The moment you hear that, the moment you receive that, the moment you recognize that, your only response can be, God, I can never do that on my own. The truth is you can't. God's dream for your life is so big. It's so outlandish. It's so overwhelming. You can't do what God wants you to do by yourself. So you might as well just be humble rather than being resisted by God, but being blessed by God by being humble, saying, God, I'm here because of you. I know that in my own life, listen, I blow it all the time. Everybody say all the time. Now you know how much I blow it. But here I am, not because I'm that good. I didn't come to summer camp 11 times for the last 13 years because I'm the best speaker in the country or the world or the church. I'm not the best speaker nowhere. I'm just some goofball who wears his leather chucks in a dirty Alaskan wilderness. People are like, those aren't outdoor shoes in Alaska. Those are inside shoes, Tom. I don't know. I'm not that good, right? So if we recognize, man, the stuff that happens in our life is because of God's doing, not because of how great we are or how we figured it out, how we orchestrated it, but it's his leading and his guiding. We've got to stay humble. Even to the point of receiving God's power and his wisdom in our life, it's pride that says, oh, I got to figure it all out before I'm willing to do it. It's pride, it's arrogance that says, I got to know all the answers before I'm ready to take the journey. And God resists the proud. The moment you think you got to have it all figured out, the moment you think you got to have all the answers before you're willing to take the step, God's saying, I don't need that kind of pride. I'm going to resist that kind of arrogance. But when you're like, God, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm saying, and I don't know what's supposed to happen. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you. God has some good gifts for you. God has incredible gifts that he wants to pour into your life. God has some incredible breakthroughs. He's an incredible stream of power that he wants to operate and unlock in and through your life. It's not just for you, by the way. This is like part of God's dream is that you get to share and be God's story to humanity. You are the expression of God to humanity. That's who you are. And when we humble ourselves and we allow God's power to fill us up, we're able to do that in a way that is beyond human understanding. So the third thing that I wrote down here is, how do we do this, right? We got to stay humble, and then we got to walk in obedience. Everybody say obedience, right? So here we're still in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. It says this. This is God talking to Solomon now, right? This is God talking to Solomon. If you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, right? We're looking back to that example. As David your father did, I will give you a long life, right? So we skipped over a little bit, and I suggest that you read this scripture, this story, because it's an amazing narrative. Solomon says, God, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to lead your people. Can you give me wisdom? And God is like, that's the best thing that you could have asked for, was to be led with wisdom by my spirit. And because you ask for that, rather than all these other temporary things, if you'll be obedient to me, if you'll obey me, not only will I lead you by my spirit, will I give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you a long life and a whole list of other things, God says, because you walk in obedience. When we walk in obedience to God, when God says, hey, I want you to step here. Okay, God, I'm going to step there. When God says, hey, I want you to step here. Okay, God, I'm going to step here. Now, let me tell you a practical side of what I'm talking about. When God's gifts and power begins to get unlocked in your life, God starts to move in some weird ways, okay? God starts to move in some weird ways. Like, he'll prompt you to go pray for somebody, and you're like, but I don't know that person. Yes, but I want you to go pray for them about this. Yeah, but I don't know if they even have that problem. I don't even know if they have that need. Why would I go pray for them about that? Listen, you don't know. But when you walk in obedience, you unlock the power of God in your life. And I've had God speak to me about things for people. And okay, I want you to give that person money. Okay, I want you to go pray for this person regarding that. I want you to go talk to this person about that. And it's freaky and it's scary. But if I don't walk in obedience, I block or I dam up the power of God from being released and flowing in my life. And so we have to respond in obedience. He says to Solomon, King Solomon, if you'll obey me, I'm going to do all these things in your life. So when he prompts you, when he prods you, when he challenges you, when he speaks to you, you've got to respond in obedience. And I can honestly tell you that I am where I am today in my life, not because I have been perfect. I have not. I already told you how often I blow it. How often do I blow it? All the time, right? But I'm here because I was obedient along the way. Now, sometimes I'm slow to be obedient. God told me to go have a conversation with my dad. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Finally, one day I did. And that conversation was what began the process of turning my father's heart to God, right? And it was hard. It was difficult. It was scary. God wanted me to preach. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Then I did. And boom, it unlocked the journey of the destiny that God had on my life, right? And it was these difficult steps of obedience along the way that every time I was obedient, it unlocked a new dimension of God's destiny for my life. And now I got all kinds of crazy stories to share. Not because I did anything great. I just was obedient. I got crazy stories of people that are blind, their eyes are being opened, and right, and lame people that are walking, and limbs that grow out when you pray for them, and tumors that dissolve and disappear when I pray for them. Like all these crazy stories that take place and happen simply because I was obedient. And it unlocks the power of God in my life. This is what Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, on one occasion while he being Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Remember, he'd already talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit that my Father's sending in my name. That's what we talked about at the beginning. He's saying, but go wait for this promise from my Father, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? They received this gift because of obedience. Obedience unlocks the power of God in our life. And it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not like we got to follow all these rules and regulations. We just simply have to be obedient to his prompting, to what he's asking us to do, what he's calling us to do. I wrote this down. It's not a major point. I just wrote this down. Worship and sacrifice should always surround our prayers. So in response to what God said, in verse 15, it says, then Solomon awoke. He realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem. He stood before the Ark of the Lord's covenant. That represents God's presence on earth in the Old Testament. And he sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast in all the court. Right? Worship and sacrifice should surround our prayers or our response to God. Check this out. In Acts chapter 2, we see the response. Jesus said, be obedient, go wait. Then here's the response. It says this in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What this word tongues literally means is an unknown language, is a heavenly language, not a human language that they begin to speak in, not of their own ability, but of the Holy Spirit ability, right? And so there was a response. There was a response to the obedience of God, right? There was a response. They obeyed, then they were praying, they were worshiping together, and then God, he pours out his blessing. Well, it sounded a little more according to scripture, right? I'm trying to do sound effects today. So here's the question. Track with me here. I'm praying for God's grace for simplicity. God wants to fill you with the wisdom of his Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you with the power of his Holy Spirit. We receive this by being humble and by being obedient. And then he empowers us with stuff that is beyond human understanding. Now, God, in his wisdom, not wanting to create confusion, like we just read in this scripture, when this gift was poured out, this Acts chapter 2, verse 1 thing, this is the first time this gift had ever been poured out in humanity. And what God did was, in his wisdom, is he gave them the sign or the symbol of speaking in this unknown tongue, this unknown language, as a sign to say, you've got it. So you don't have to scratch your head going, well, was that it? I felt some goosebumps and I felt a wind because the fan was on. And was that God filling me up? God gives you this sign of speaking in an unknown language so that you don't have to question, did you get this gift or not? Right? Lots of people have lots of ideas about why and what and how. And there's other places in like Corinthians where it lists spiritual gifts that are supposed to be used within the church body context and all those kinds of things. And you can figure those things out later as you're being taught and you learn and the Holy Spirit instructs you how to use those kinds of things. But right now we're just going to focus on this initial time, because what we're praying for is that those who haven't yet received this gift, that tonight would be your night to simply receive this power, this promise of God to fill you with his wisdom, to fill you with this anointing, to be and receive instruction and guidance in your spiritual journey. Is this making sense to you? So we're gonna pray here in just a minute. That if you haven't received the power of God with the evidence or the sign of speaking in an unknown tongue, right? Spiritual wisdom, spiritual words, not human wisdom, not human words. We're going to pray that you would receive the fullness of God tonight because he wants to give this to you. So we talked about being humble. We talked about being obedient. Let me give you a couple of pieces of instruction right before we pray, okay? Couple things. This is what James 1:5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, everybody say wisdom, right? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual wisdom. We're talking about a spiritual power. This is what God's saying. If any of you lacks this wisdom, this spiritual power, he should what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You know how you receive this gift tonight? You just ask. Let me tell you what you don't have to do. You don't have to convince God to give you this gift tonight. He's already promised this gift to each one of us. He's already said, I want all my babies filled with my spirit so that they can walk in wisdom, they can walk in power, they can walk in a spiritual understanding that is beyond just the human understanding. Sometimes we think when we come and prayed, and if you've prayed for this gift before, or you've been a part of this process before, we think the harder we cry, the harder we shout, the harder we yell, then we convince God we really want it. And if we can convince God we really want this thing, then he's going to do it. That's not what the scripture says. It doesn't say if any of you lacks wisdom, you should really try to convince God. Right? That's not what it says. It says if any of you lacks, you should just ask. Yeah, but what about, no. Just ask. Yes, but what if I don't know? Just ask. But I've asked before and what if, no. Just ask. So, in a very practical way, we're going to pray. So I'm going to give you some instructions real quick. When one of the prayer team members, leaders, comes and prays for you, we're believing that God fills you tonight. Because he says, just ask. So we're going to ask. When that happens, there's a couple of things that I'm going to ask you to do for us. This is not really the spiritual side of it, it's just the practical side, okay? When one of us comes and prays for you, not only Is it a sign for you when you speak in this unknown language, this gift of tongues, as this scripture refers to it? It's also a sign for us that we can move on to the next person and pray for them now. Right? So here's what we're going to ask you to do. When the music will be soft tonight, we're not going to do a lot of yelling and screaming. You don't have to talk loud. But when you receive this gift, I am asking you, as a favor to us, if you would speak out in tongues. You don't have to shout it for the whole room to hear. Nobody's going to come stick a microphone in your face and be like, listen to that guy. That's not going to happen. But for the person that's praying with you, right, when you start speaking out in that unknown language, they'll be like, woo, you got it. Awesome. Now I'm going to go pray for the next person so that they can get it too. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? So, like, some of you, I know it. You're spiritually shy. And you're like, I'm not trying to make a scene. And we definitely don't want to make a scene or a spectacle of you. That is not the goal. The goal is that we could rejoice with you for a moment, and then we can move on to the next person, because we want every single person to be prayed for that wants to receive this gift tonight. Does this make sense to you? Right? So I'm only asking you. Now, if God touches you and blesses you and you start screaming and hooping and hollering, praise God. Get all of Jesus you can get. All right? Awesome. Go for it, girl. You know what I mean? But that's if God's moving on you. And that might just be you, okay? What I'm saying is, I need you to speak it out in an unknown language loud enough just for the person in front of you or the person that's praying with you to hear, so that they can know. It's a sign for you. It's a sign for them. You rejoice. You keep getting blessed by God. And then they can move on to the next person. Does that make sense? Now, okay, here's the next thing. I just need to give you this instruction. As much as we want to believe in Spanglish, you cannot speak in two languages at once. So this is like something that I see happen often. Somebody comes, they're at the altar, and they're like, bless me, Jesus, just fill me. God, I just want to be filled. And they're soft, and they're like, here's the thing. You can't speak in tongues and in English, so at some point, you got to just stop talking. And then start speaking in the other language, okay? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do specifically. When you come tonight, we're going to just ask. We're going to just ask. And then once we ask, we're going to just wait on him. We're going to wait on him to fill you up with his spirit, with his power, with his anointing, these things that we talked about, with his wisdom, with his understanding. We're going to just wait for him. Tonight is all about Jesus. It's all about his spirit coming and filling us up with what he has. So we're going to come and we're going to ask, and then we're just going to wait. We're not going to just keep talking and running our mouth, right? Because then we can't hear. Last night I talked to you about listening. Lean in and listen. So this is the last piece of instruction I'm going to give before I have you move your chairs and we give all and do all that kind of stuff. When this gift comes, you're like, how am I supposed to know this gift? Here's the deal. God begins to download this language into your heart, into your mind. I don't really know where they separate, right? And you, as he's downloading this, these funny sounds, because it sounds funny. It's a language you don't know. Every language you don't know sounds funny, right? It's going to sound funny. It might sound like one little phrase or one little syllable. It might sound like full-long sentences. I don't know, because it's an unknown language. And you simply, once that happens, you take a simple step of faith of saying, I've asked God. Now I'm hearing this language. I'm going to just trust that it's him, and you step into it. And you speak that sound, those words, that funny talk, right? It's funny because it's unknown to you. You've not experienced it before. But it's a step of faith, and it's a step of obedience of, oh, God, you're giving this to me, so I'm going to speak it out. Now, you might have some fear that comes in. You might have some doubt that comes in. And I'm saying, just push past that and walk in obedience and speak that out. And it's okay. Let me just tell you this. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, he loves you so much that even if you were to get this wrong, he's not going to be disappointed that you're desiring more of him. in the process. So it's not like you have to go, well, I don't know, because what if I do it wrong? God's not thinking like that tonight. He's not even worried about that. It blesses the heart of God when we say, God, I want everything that you have for me. And it unlocks his power. It unlocks his wisdom. It unlocks his anointing that we've talked about. And that's how we conquer with power tonight. Will you bow your heads for just a moment? Holy Spirit, I know that I've talked about some complicated stuff that, as I even mentioned, is beyond human wisdom. So I ask right now in this moment, God, that you would do what I am not capable of doing. That you would quicken the heart. You would stir the spirits of your teenagers in this room. And you would let them know that even though it might have seemed confusing, what I was speaking about is truth. Activate in them the very things that we talked about. That you will lead us, that you will teach us, that you will guide us. Even if we don't understand it, God, draw them to you. Draw them to that place of power and of wisdom and of anointing. Draw them to that place of being baptized in the Holy Spirit according to your promise, according to your scripture, God. Do that tonight. Guys, I just want to tell you there's one requirement that is put on this gift. One. And it is that you are in a right relationship with Jesus. That's it. So if you just made that decision yesterday, this gift is for you. That's what it says. He gives without finding fault. He's not looking at your past. He's not looking at how long you've been in church. If you made this decision on Sunday night, you're eligible. And one more time, I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you're here in this place, and you are not in a right relationship with Jesus, you haven't made him the Lord and the Savior and the owner, the one who's calling the shots of your life, it's the only obstacle that is preventing you from receiving this gift tonight. But you can remove that obstacle by simply taking a step of faith and saying, Jesus, you've got a plan for me, and I want to receive and surrender to the plan you have for me. So if that's you, if that's you in this room, you say, tonight's my night. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Right where you're at, would you just simply slip up your hand? Just hold it for a second. Yep, thank you. Yeah, 8. Yep, you can put it back down. 9 back there. Is there anybody else? I don't want to rush past this to get to something else. This is the most important thing. Yep, thank you. This is the most important thing. Yep, thank you. Yes. Most important thing. This will be the last time I ask tonight, and then we're going to move on. Is there anybody else you would say, you know what, Pastor Tom, tonight I want to surrender my life to Jesus? If that's you, quickly. Would you just join these 9, 10? Yeah. I'm going to say it one more time. And I don't mean to be repetitive, but maybe for these 10 tonight, they weren't engaged in this part of it, so it's for them. God did the hard part so that you could do the simple part. It's simple, but not easy. That if we believe that Jesus died in our place for our sins, for our mistakes, where we've fallen short, and we confess or say out loud with our mouth, then we're saved. Then we start this journey, this amazing relationship with him. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer, just like we opened the service. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, not because I have special access or special words, but to just help you with the vocabulary that you feel and sense in your heart right now that caused you to raise your hand. And know this, that when you pray this prayer, God hears you. He's leaning his ear towards you. And he's responding. And so I'm going to ask everyone in this room to pray along with these 10 that just lifted their hand today and responded. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, tonight, I accept the gift and the penalty that your son Jesus paid on the cross for me. I ask that you would come into my heart and life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash my past away. Make me new. Jesus, become my Lord, my owner, my Savior, my forgiver. The rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate these 10 that just made this decision? Two things I'll tell you for those 10 that just made that choice. One, connect with your cabin leader and let them know tonight I made that choice. And two, you are immediately eligible for everything I just talked about tonight. That's how great and powerful the grace of God is.